So far in this lecture series, I've been explaining to you about the tremendous contribution that Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj has made to the world through his spiritual teachings. We're trying to understand, to some extent, what kind of far-reaching effect this will have on people's understanding now and in the future as his teachings spread and more people find out about them. So I've been touching briefly on several existing fallacies, confusions, things that distracted people from the spiritual path, and how through Sri Maharaj's very clear explanation of the spiritual philosophy, all of that has been cleared up. To the extent that people follow it, it will be cleared up, but the information is there, readily available and easily understandable. As Sri Maharaji explained all the essence of the most valuable treasure, the Sanskrit scriptures. Yesterday I explained the form of sadhana, how a soul can purify his heart by doing bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, which results in the mind becoming attached to Radha Krishna. This purifies the heart, develops all the positive qualities of the mind, reduces the negative qualities, and results in us becoming qualified to receive the divine gift of Premanand, the topmost goal for any soul. To follow the path takes determination. The sadhana I described, doing Roop Dhyan, it's not easy for everybody in the beginning. Most people find that even though this form of meditation is very natural, yet when they sit and try to do it, their mind wanders. It goes back to worldly things, things you have to do, people you're attached to. So instead of thinking of Radha and Krishna, you find yourself thinking of the world again. This is normal and to be expected. In almost every speech, Sri Maharaji would explain about how to do sadhana. And after explaining how to do sadhana, he would say, "Did you learn anything of value in one go? Did you learn to speak English or Hindi the first day you went to school? Oh, you practiced for years. You didn't give up when you fell dozens and probably hundreds of times when you were a baby learning to walk. You just decided, I have to learn. There's no other possibility. So it doesn't matter how many times I fall. I'll keep getting up and keep trying, because I have no other choice." So if we have the same determination with Roop Dhyan, we can get the benefit, and our mind eventually becomes more attached to Radha and Krishna, and then Roop Dhyan becomes much easier. You can say it becomes the natural direction the mind wants to take, instead of, if you give it a little bit of leeway, it immediately gravitates back towards the world. Eventually that starts to shift and you feel like, oh, it's going more naturally towards Radha and Krishna. In Hindi, Sri Maharaj used to say, "Pehle man ko lagana hai." You have to, with effort, bring your mind from the world and put it in Radha and Krishna. Fir lagane lagega. After practicing that, eventually the mind becomes attached to Radha and Krishna. But first you have to attach it. You have to attach it. Then it starts to become attached. Then it feels, the whole thing feels more natural and easy. That process of becoming attached, well, you understand, that's the sadhana we have to do. It's the same thing with the remembrance throughout the day. I shared a couple of tools with you that Sri Maharaji emphasized, but we have to make use of those tools, doing remembrance of Radhe name with our breathing, trying to remember Hari and Guru are with us first every hour on the hour, then every 30 minutes, every 15 minutes, keep reducing the time. It's a simple practice, but you have to do it. You have to resolve that I'm going to follow this every day. Reducing faults is the same thing. We have to decide, I have this fault, I want to reduce it, and take some time every day at night before we go to bed to review what mistakes we made, and to think about it in the morning when we get up. How do we need to be careful today not to make those mistakes? All of this is our effort in sadhana. If we make that effort, we have a lot of help. We have Radha Krishna's grace. We have Sri Maharaj's grace. For whatever effort we put in, we get a lot more help in return. It's unseen, but it's like wind in your sails pushing you. But you at least have to make some effort on your own. Sri Maharaj-ji also explained the secret of vairagya and anurag, the secret of detachment and attachment. It's also a big mystery to many people in the world. People who have heard Hindu philosophy growing up, they have some idea, they understand that, they kind of think, okay, I think a human being is supposed to detach from the world. We're not supposed to just run after worldly enjoyments. Everybody has some idea about this. But how to do it? Practically, nobody has any clue. Nobody knows. And then you have apparent contradictions in the scriptures and from saints, where on one hand you have one side saying that if you don't detach from the world, how will you attach your mind to God? You only have one mind. It's already attached in the world. So if it's attached there, how will you attach it to God? So first, detach your mind from the world. Then you can do bhakti to God. Then you can attach your mind to Him. And on the other hand, you have the other side saying, no one can detach their mind from the world. The mind is naturally drawn to the world. Do devotion to God, that will create detachment in your mind from the world. But then the other side says, no, how will you attach your mind to God if you haven't detached it from the world? So it's like a problem. People don't understand. What's the practical solution to this? Sri Maharaj-ji said it's very simple. Neither do you start by detaching your mind from the world, nor do you start by attaching your mind to God. It starts with understanding, tattva jnana. What understanding? That happiness is in God, not in the world. Otherwise, why would the mind want to attach to God, and why would the mind allow itself to detach from the world? The whole reason for attachment is the search for happiness. So wherever the mind believes it will find happiness, that's where it's going to attach. It's a natural process. You want happiness, that feeling wells up from inside. You think, I might get happiness from this thing in the world or this person in the world, and you do chintan of that. The more times you think of it, the more firm your belief becomes that there is happiness in this thing or this person. So in that way, we build worldly attachment. This we've done a lot of in all of our past lives. Why? Wrong understanding. We believed there was happiness in the world. So the first step in spiritual understanding is to accept that the world is not the form of happiness. The world is made of maya. Maya is made of sattva rajtam, the three qualities, good, normal, and bad. So it's always going to give sometimes pleasant experiences, sometimes neutral experience, sometimes unpleasant experiences. And those experiences keep rotating. No one has only pleasant experiences, no one has only unpleasant experiences, because there's a cyclical nature to the world as well. So up, down, up, down, around and around. This is the world. And to the extent we're attached to things, when we get that thing or we get that person's association that we're attached to, we feel an excitement. The basis for that excitement is our own attachment, which was our own creation. When your son comes home from college or your daughter comes home from college after being away on campus for a whole year, you're excited, right? Is your neighbor excited? No. It's the same person, though. If there was happiness in that son or in that daughter, the whole muhalla should be excited. Jai ho, jai ho. But why doesn't anyone else feel the same excitement? Because they're attached to their son and their daughter. So the happiness you feel isn't in the person, it's in your mind. You created the attachment to that person thinking, they're mine. This quality about them makes me happy. If I get more of their association, I'll get more happiness. So you started creating this attachment. It got bigger and bigger, and however big it is, that's how much excitement you feel when that person comes to you. We call that feeling of excitement happiness. But it's not true happiness because it doesn't last. Does your level of happiness remain the same after 1 hour of your son or daughter returning home? No, it's already at least 10%. Meaning it was 100%, now it's down 90%, down to 10% after the first hour. And after another hour, you may start arguing about the same old things you used to argue about when they lived at home. So the happiness isn't stable because it's just experienced based on our state of mind, on our thinking. It's not a stable, existing, substantial thing. But such happiness does exist in God. So God is that actual real happiness. So you get Him, you get happiness. This has to be understood by the mind. Only then the mind would agree, right? We can't force our mind to do anything. The mind has to agree. Mind, you want happiness, right? Yes, I want happiness. Is happiness in this world? No, you've logically explained to me happiness is not in this world. Happiness is in God, right? Yes, happiness is in God. Then, okay, let's desire God. See, mind goes automatically. But you did that once, mind understood, went to Radha Krishna, but you still have heavier attachment on the worldly side than the divine side. So again, mind got pulled back because of attachment, because of its habitual nature to go and look for happiness in the world. So that's when we get frustrated. Oh, my mind keeps going back to the world. No, it's going to. You again just have to bring it through understanding. Mind, why did you go back to the world? Well, I'm looking for happiness. Let's review again, mind. Is happiness in the world or is happiness in God? So you have to educate your mind like a little child. You patiently keep explaining again and again. Eventually, mind develops a new habit of going towards God. It changes its wrong understanding to correct understanding. So this is how gradually attachment is transferred from the world to God. It's a process of correcting our understanding. And so both happen together. Your attachment to God grows and your attachment in the world decreases side by side, exactly according to your level of understanding. So the level of understanding, you have to get that and increase it. You listen to the philosophy, you do manan of it, meaning you roll it over in your mind, you keep thinking about it again and again. You do sadhana, where you really try to meditate on Radha and Krishna. That's a more intensive way of getting the mind to go in that direction. Eventually, it goes in deeper and deeper and deeper, and you find yourself moving more quickly in the divine direction. This all requires our effort. This is up to us. If we don't do it now, we can do it later, but it may be many, many lifetimes before we get another human birth. So if we lose this chance because we thought, oh, I know what I have to do, but I'm not sure I want to put in the effort, or I'm too busy, or we just didn't give it top priority, and this life goes, we may not get another human birth, could be many lifetimes. Sargeshu, Ved says, you may have billions of years go by before you get another human birth. When that chance does come again, if you're lucky, you'll hear the same spiritual philosophy, be in the same position with the same amount of worldly attachment. Your worldly attachment won't have reduced. The next time you get a human birth, it'll be in the same place it is now. You'll have the same desires, the same mental faults and problems to deal with. And again, you'll have a decision. Do I want to put the effort in or not? So we do it now or we do it later. It's up to us. But this is a great chance, what we have right now. Because, like I explained, there's just nothing left to be confused about. We have the total philosophy explained to us by Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. And even though he has become adrishya, I use the word adrishya for Sri Maharaji, means you can't see him anymore, at least we can't. There may be some people who can, who are qualified. Even though he's become adrishya in that way, his grace is still here. And you can imagine that when he decided to leave, he would have put a lot of thought into it. When to go, how to go. It's not a spur of the moment thing. Not like we just say, okay, I'm tired of this now, let's go. He didn't come here for his own enjoyment. He came here for us. As part of that overall plan, I explained how the souls can receive correct spiritual knowledge and progress towards God. So when he left, he would have understood that this is the right time to go. Now my going will give the souls more benefit than my staying. And he would have made sure that everything he had to do, everything he had to make available in the world, would have been done and would have been made available. And now at this point, the best thing for the souls is for me to disappear. So we'll see. We'll get the benefit of his going, just like we had the benefit of his being here. I mentioned yesterday that Sri Maharaji didn't create any sampradaya. Sampradaya means a lineage. In the history, we've had several well-known lineages, sampradaya, and many, many more lesser-known sampradaya. All the past four original Jagadgurus established sampradaya. At that time, there was no video, there was no audio recording. Their writings were only in Sanskrit. So if someone wanted to come after that saint had left the earth planet and learn about the path to God, there had to be someone else in that position to guide those souls. Thus, a sampradaya was established. The Jagadguru, the original Jagadguru, when they left, people call it like a gaddi, like a throne, a seat, they left someone, a successor, sitting on that seat to be able to help the souls who came afterwards. And those lineages exist until today. But Sri Maharaji always said he only believes that there are two sampradaya. He again, in this instance, would quote that same verse from Kathopanishad. Shreya adadanasya sadhu bhavati hiyatirthadya upreyo vrinite. That there's only two paths, the path towards preya and the path towards shreya. Shreya towards God, preya towards maya. So there's only two sampradaya. All the saints, true divine saints, belong to Shreya Marga. And everyone else belongs to Preya Marga. He gives the example of Shankaracharya. He says, why do we call it Shankaracharya Sampradaya? Did Shankaracharya not have a guru? He says, yes, he did. Govinda Padacharya. So why don't we call it Govinda Padacharya Sampradaya instead of Shankaracharya Sampradaya? But didn't Govinda Padacharya have a guru? Yes. Gauda Padacharya. So why don't we call it Gauda Padacharya Sampradaya? Because he also had a guru, Shukdevji. Shukdevji also had a guru, Vedavyas. Vedavyasji also had a guru, Naradji. Naradji also had a guru, Brahma. Brahma also had a guru, Shri Krishna. So why don't we call Shankaracharya's Sampradaya Shri Krishna's Sampradaya? It's the same with every lineage of every saint. If you trace it back, it goes all the way to Shri Krishna. So it means all the saints are part of Shri Krishna's Sampradaya. So when someone would ask Maharaji, what Sampradaya do you belong to? He would say, in all seriousness, I belong to Shri Krishna's Sampradaya. And that was the end of the discussion. Because all these various sampradaya, they create confusion, and the various members argue amongst each other. Instead of following the path of bhakti, they're arguing amongst the various sampradayas who are all Shri Krishna's sampradayas. So Maharaji didn't want to add to that. He wanted to put an end to that confusion. So part of that was his explanation, and part of that was the fact he didn't start another sampradaya. He didn't leave a successor on his throne. And as far as we're concerned, and as far as the other souls who are going to come to this path are concerned, there was no need. This isn't the 14th century. This is the 21st century. We have video, we have audio, we have Maharaji's Hindi writings, easily understandable to anyone, and also their English translations. So we have his original teachings available to us. Why would we go and learn the same teachings from someone else? We can just go to him directly. Video wale Shri Maharaji, audio wale Shri Maharaji. And his divine presence is still here. It's like Radha Krishna leave the earth planet. It's a way of saying. We say, oh, they went back to their divine abode. Where is their divine abode? It's omnipresent. They were omnipresent before they took avatar. They merely manifested their divine body in a way that could be seen by material eyes for that period of time. We said, oh, they came and visited the earth planet. And then when they stopped manifesting that form that could be seen by our eyes, they were still omnipresent at that time. So they didn't come and go back. They were already here. They're still here. So in the case of Sri Maharaji, he has simply become adrishya. His grace can still be received by old devotees, new devotees, those to come. So we have everything we need to progress on this path. We still have Sri Maharaji's association. And if Sri Krishna, Sri Radha feel, oh, this soul needs the association of physical association of some saint, someone he has to meet, they'll arrange it. This whole thing has been arranged for us. I explained to you on day one, the whole srishti is here just so we can find God. Radha Krishna have gone to so much effort to set up all of this. So do you truly believe they would send such a personality as Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj and then just, oh, after 91 years, okay, cut, I'm out of here, and it's over, and you guys do what you can now, No, it would have been all thought out, exactly planned. This, we have to do this, we have to accomplish this, now's the time to go. After becoming Adrishya, how will we continue to guide and grace the souls? It's all pre-planned. We don't have to worry, we just have to do. We have to do our sadhana, bring more people, help them to understand and start doing sadhana, and we can also be amazed by the benefit that they'll get by following the same path that we've been following. So I'd like to finish by sharing a short audio speech I have of Sri Maharaj's. It's just an excerpt from a personal talk he gave to a few devotees, where he was talking about making the most of your time and also the ongoing relationship between a guru and those who have accepted that guru as their divine guide. There's some background music, somebody added some background music, but you can still hear Maharaji clearly.
आपको 5 मिनट का समय मिले, अभ्यास कर लो। 2 मिनट का समय है हमारे पास खाली, कर लो। कणसा कणसो विद्या, कणसा कणसो धनम। आज जो मुकेश अंबानी वगैरह खरबपति हो गए हैं, एक एक पैसा व्यापार में इनको प्रॉफिट हुआ, उससे बढ़ते 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 वहां पहुंच गए। साधना से ही साध्य मिलेगा। भगवान के भरोसे बैठे रहो, प्रारब्ध के भरोसे बैठे रहो, गुरु के भरोसे बैठे रहो। ये गलत है। साधना करो और उसमें भगवान और गुरु की कृपा रियलाइज करो, लेकिन करो, टाइम बर्बाद न करो। जितना समय पेट भरने के लिए जरूरी है उतना समय संसार को दो, बाकी टाइम का उपयोग करो, भगवत विषय में लगाओ। वो बहुत जल्दी हम आगे बढ़ जाएंगे अंतःकरण की शुद्धि की ओर। और अगर मर गए बीच में तो जो साधना की हमारी स्पीड है वो हमको फिर मनुष्य बना देगी, और फिर कोई गुरु मिल जाएगा या हमारा वही पुराना गुरु दूसरा रूप धारण करके आ जाएगा और हमको फिर आगे बढ़ाएगा। अंधेर नहीं है भगवान के यहाँ के बीच में छोड़ दिया गुरु जी ने, ऐसा नहीं होता। वो सदा के लिए हमारा साथ देता है भगवत प्राप्ति तक। इसलिए टाइम का उपयोग करो, साधना करते रहो।
अलबेली सरकार की। Just a brief translation of the last thing Maharaji said. He said that andher nahi hota hai Bhagwan ke yahan. It means there's no injustice and no mistakes with God. So he said if you're doing sadhana and you're really trying in this life and you die before accomplishing your goal, he said because you were trying wholeheartedly, that sadhana will result in you getting another human birth. And then in your next life, you'll get another guru. Or he said, or the same guru you had in your last life will take another form and come to you in your next life. He said, your guru doesn't leave you partway on the path of God realization. Once you make him your guru, he stays with you for as many lifetimes as it takes right up until God realization. So Sri Maharaj said, do sadhana, make use of every minute that you can to do sadhana and accomplish your goal in this life. Shrimat Sadguru Sarkar ki
Jai.
Jagat Guru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj ki
Jai.